Kalikalikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send.
Well, I've seen the advertisements for Christmas Vacation soon to reappear on television. I haven't sat and watched it yet. Too soon. Haven't even decorated in my home yet. But I was a little too busy on the weekend. But man, with no snow on the ground Saturday, I was on location at Sticks and Doodles run by Kyle and Danella, and they call it Regina's Christmas Ornament Store. And judging from the amount of people who are coming through the door, people are wanting to start their Christmas shopping. People have started their Christmas shopping with or without the snow on the ground. And it was fun to bump into so many people and talk about how they're feeling. They were decorating on the weekend, or that they'd put up their inflatables on their front lawn just waiting for the snow now too. But at Sticks and Doodles, 2406 Vic Ave is where I was. I love the story of a local business owner that started in his home raising kids. He and his wife raising three kids, only to find success at having to expand. It's a great little story. I spoke with Kyle while his wife was busily working behind the scenes Saturday afternoon. I just want to bring a little of my conversation with Kyle. He told me they've been in business now 6 years and not always in the present store. Vic, it all started in their basement a few years ago.
We were in a basement bathroom. My wife wanted to make some nursery signs, and we bought a scroll saw, and I sat on the toilet seat, and I cut the wood by hand. That's how we made the signs.
With three children in tow.
Yes, they've been a part of the whole journey.
And now the store here on Victoria Avenue is just really growing, and behind, you can hear them humming behind me here. Some technology involved in it here, but it really also takes your human touch, doesn't it?
Yeah, we consider the lasers very much a tool. The real beauty of this comes from the design work and the artistry that goes into it, and then what they're actually doing by hand painting and hand assembling everything and hand packaging it. And we are like this weird cross between an artist studio and a manufacturing shop.
Everyone likes to shop local at Christmas time. I've noticed hanging out of the store with you, you have a lot of return customers.
Yeah, people really, I think, like that idea of knowing the story behind where their stuff comes from. And most of our staff now have been here long enough that they know the stories of our customers. And so when somebody comes by and getting a wedding ornament, well, they've already been here for a baby ornament, or they've had a sign made for their home when they bought a new home. We get to talk to them about their lives. We're also here in some of their hardest moments. We do a lot of memorial work. You know, our staff, they know our customers, and I think it makes people feel safe to be in a store where we really care about what they're going through.
Is it difficult being a local shop owner these days?
Expenses has grown so much in the last few years. It really becomes this challenge to both support the local market, but also be conscious of the fact that we have to make money. And so we do need to sell in Saskatoon, and we do need to sell in Winnipeg, and we need to be able to branch out, because the market for small business is not super supportive outside of cities like Regina. It is very much a corporate world, and we are competing with Amazon and Etsy. We and all other businesses like ours are competing with them. It definitely pushes you to be creative and take risks.
Husband and wife, and you have three children.
Yeah, we did the math 1 year, and we spend on average 22 hours a day together. Danelle and I have gone through a lot together. We were teenage parents. You know, we complement each other so well. And when you're in a business, there is always multiple arms that you need. And Danelle and I fit different arms so well. You know, I am a business marketing. You know, I love that. Danelle loves the creative side of it. You know, we both are involved in all aspects of the business, but we also don't, like, I do not want to be doing her work, and she does not want to be doing mine. We support each other a lot, but yeah, we just, I love her.
Okay,
yeah.
Wait a minute. So the moral of the story, going into business with your partner won't destroy it.
Will not destroy it. It has made our marriage much stronger.
Isn't that cool? I love their story, their background. It was fun to hang out with them on Saturday. And if you love shopping local as much as we love it here at Rolco, I hope you look them up. You know what was interesting to me? If you have kids, you know about 6-7. Yeah. Slang, you know, for like brain rot, complete confusion or disarray. The 6-7 ornament was the one that was walking out the door with people the most. Looking forward to bumping into you at Agribition Day 1 today. It kicks off. It's free admission day and free parking, too. All the trucks and trailers were rolling through the Real District on the weekend, and it is now the largest livestock show in all of Canada. Kicks off with its annual Burning of the Brand later this morning, and it's just such a unique blend of ag, education with all the school kids there, shopping. Yeah, there's Christmas shopping happening, loads of live entertainment. A world-class event, just like the Maple Leaf Finals Pro Rodeo, which is four nights starting on Wednesday night, which is opening night. And Wednesday, it's free, right? Rush seating. It's always packed, always sold out on opening night. And last year, I think it was Friday, Saturday rodeo nights were sold out by the middle of the week. And looking on Ticketmaster, if you're planning on taking your family to the rodeo on the weekend, I'd get your tickets now. They are selling out quickly and will likely be sold out in advance as well, too. But yeah, more than 1,200 international guests from at least 69 countries last year, about the same coming this year. And tomorrow, oh, this is cool, too. If you can't make the rodeo starting Wednesday, they're having a family night at the chutes. There's trick riders, there's mutton-busting rodeo clowns, mini chuck wagon races. Tickets are on sale for that, too. And I think it starts at like 6 tomorrow evening and ends by 8. So if you have real little ones, you want to take them, they still get home early enough. But loads of great comments about the Vanier Cup on the weekend, too, largely because of the weather. Sure, the Huskies fell 30-16 to Montreal, and there were a lot of Montreal supporters who were happy and also happy with the hospitality.
We love Regina. I kept saying before the game, meeting people, I said, Regina people are great people, and we had a blast the whole long weekend we were here.
We even met a guy from Kelowna who flew in for the game.
It's a little bit of a waste. Two flights out here, but it was worth it, I'd say.
And, of course, there were fans from Saskatoon who made the trek, leaving a little heartbroken.
Yeah, it was a good game, you know, but obviously sad. The Huskies aren't coming through with it, it looks like. But, you know, beautiful day out for football.
It was not meant to be for the Huskies, and Coach Scott Flory told us he's still proud of the club.
I think we had six or seven season-ending knee injuries in totally random situations. Losing guys and then obviously the situation with our quarterback, man, these guys they just kept playing and I'm just so proud of them. I really am.
Yeah, they ran it till about the fourth, then it kind of got away on them. But quarterback Jake Farrell for the Huskies impressed of all the fans.
Yeah, it's unreal. I mean, we have such great fans. We have a great fan base. Very thankful for us.
That was a great turnout, and I tuned in the third quarter to see how it looked on television, and I was impressed how many fans were there on both sides. And with the walk up sale and the suites they sold, they tell me just over 8,400 fans took in that game. And originally, when I spoke to some of the committee members, they said, you know, when we started out for this, we thought, okay, if we get 3,000, great. But turned into an even bigger event. Well, City Council is preparing for the next city budget. They'll begin deliberations the middle of next month. There's a gap of like $51 million next year between revenue and spending, and it could give us a mill rate increase of 15.6%, I believe it is, potentially $33 more a month for us all if they don't find a way to chip it down on our property taxes. The big question is, how will they do that? The draft budget is out there right now, circulating. A lot of people talking about that on social media. And joining me now from Ward 3, Councillor David Froh. And David, you and a few other council members have been pretty active on social media, trying to enlighten citizens on the process. And you mentioned yourself, when you were elected a year ago, you didn't expect to see numbers like this. So in your view, how many years have we been, say, kicking the can down the road then?
Well, I guess first, Greg, like, we have some hard choices to make as a city, but the way we make hard choices is with complete honesty and transparency about, you know, why we got here and how to get out. So I respect that people are frustrated. I am too. But, you know, thankfully, you know, Prairie people aren't afraid of hard work or decisions. We take care of our neighbors. And I think people should run away from politicians that try to be popular. Well, I'm new. You know, it's clear to me we kept taxes artificially low for political reasons. And years past, we used reserves to cover operational shortfalls. Look at, like, in 2018-19, the library, as an example, you know, they had a 0% increase. We were given real then, you know, roughly $300,000 a year. They probably should have been getting $3 million a year, because today, you know, it will take about $50 million to fix the buildings at real, and we subsidize them to the tune of $35,000 a day. And so no one wants to raise taxes on their neighbors, but when you ignore an infrastructure deficit, or when you agree to do a bunch of things but have them happen in 2 years, or endlessly debate things like an indoor aquatic center, it gets more expensive. So the vast majority of things really quickly in the budget are really core services and infrastructure. Like, we're talking about massive investments into water infrastructure, you know, equipment and money to fund our police, which is, you know, $130 million, fire and snow removal. But in the end, you mentioned cuts. That's what we have to balance, right? We have to balance our citizens' ability to pay, and some folks are struggling right now. But I can tell you, when I look at the surveys, people endlessly want more services, more infrastructure and programming, and lower taxes.
Yeah.
So that's not sustainable. We got to decide what kind of city we want to be.
All right. Well, what kind of cuts are you going to have to consider?
Well, we're looking at over 130, totaling roughly $68 million. But I can tell you, you know, if I say this to my colleagues all the time, if people are mad about potential tax increases, they'll be furious about cuts. Because, you know, in my ward, you know, some of the options being considered are things like the Cathedral Community Association. That costs the average resident 13 cents a month. The Neil Bockwell Center, you know, outdoor hockey rinks, you know, reducing our maintenance to parks and transit, even fire, like fire staff, which is absolute insanity. So I was in economic development most of my life. I've worked in a lot of places. I can tell you the best cities invest into a great quality of life. You know, we don't have oceans and mountains. We have to build great things here. So we have to be affordable. We have to be safe. But a welder and a teacher and a doctor, like, they can live anywhere. So if we don't invest in quality of life in Regina, which, by the way, is a core mandate for a city, then we won't have a great quality of life. So that's the balance that we're dealing with.
Well, David, of course, the Conservatory, the Floral Conservatory, has a lot of social media going this weekend because it's one of those considerations. Any comment on that?
Yeah, well, we're not going to cut the Floral Conservatory. That's insanity. I think they get roughly $60,000 a month. But that's a great example, Greg, because there's dozens of organizations like that that get anywhere between sort of $5,000 or $50,000 from the city that are working, you know, with kids that might be struggling or to keep seniors active. But these are the things that the city has to balance in the end. And look, we're competing with Saskatoon and Winnipeg and Calgary. The good news is, though, one, we're not going to cut that funding, at least I won't. And two, that if we get it right this year, if we make some hard decisions, which probably will include a tax increase, then future years are sustainable. Like, we're looking at manageable, predictable increases. But if we don't, like, if we start to continue to ignore, rather, what it costs to run a city, then we're going to have to relitigate this every year. So it's time to make some hard decisions, and it's time to decide.
Okay.
Do you want your city involved in recreation? Do you want your city involved in some of these things?
I got David Froh on the air with me, Ward 3 Councillor. You know, a lot of people point, you know, why don't you poke at Real or Economic Development, who stood before you at a recent council meeting and really had not much to show for what they're asking for. Do you hear that from a lot of your constituents? Maybe poke harder there?
Well, I can tell you one. I mean, we have an obligation to current and future residents to have a prosperous economy. Economic development budget costs the average person in Regina about 10 cents a month. So we won't get there by closing down EDR. Real, you know, they get over 1 million visitors a year. I mean, I'm there with my kids 4 times a week. It's probably the most important civic asset we have. I put forward a motion last year that will decide whether we wind down Real as a municipal corporation and take it over. But the truth is, you and I and everyone listening own those buildings. People are there every day for hockey and soccer. We can't allow it to fail. We have an expectation on they be a good service provider and take care of their assets. And that's our job now, right, is to make the hard decisions and put in place the right leadership. They got a great new board. They're volunteers, by the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're asking roughly $11.8 million this year. That's like $35,000 a day. We can't wish that away. We can either fix those buildings so kids can play hockey and soccer, and we can hold great events, and we can put in place great new staff to make sure we have great concerts, or we can ignore it, and then the problem will just...
All right, David, I only got about 20 seconds, so quick. On a broad stroke, a lot of people just tell you, don't build the pool. You could save us all. What do you say to them?
The previous council agreed to the pool. The decision's been made. If we walk away from it today, you're walking away from $100 million in grants from other levels of government. You have to pay millions in fees to folks that are building the pool, and you'd be left with the worst pool in Canada, which engineers have told us it would be a money pit to try to fix.
Okay.
The new pool will have 600,000 new visitors, Greg. The last one had 170,000. I get it. Some people are frustrated. Some people really want it. That's a city. No one always agrees on the same things.
All right, my man. I wish you had more time. Lots covered there. And thanks for doing as best as you can. You're all trying to be as transparent as possible. I know there's going to be meetings for the public to attend to in the coming weeks. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, have a great day, Greg.
Yeah, Agribusiness is in town. I'm looking forward to Heading down there this morning. It's a free admission on day one, and this is where the ag community meets, and that's what I love about it. You can walk anywhere across the grounds, bump into someone you know, play catch up, discuss farming, discuss what's going on, the good, the bad, and everyone just seems like they're in a happy place when they're at Agribition. And it is the largest livestock show in all of Canada, and it's on this morning with the annual Burning of the Brand to kick it all off. And it's education, right? I can remember as a kid growing up in Rosemont, going to Agribition, just loving it. And also at the same time, hating the way my jacket would smell the next day after going through all the barns. But that's a part of Agribition. It's a unique blend of ag, education, the shopping, and the rodeo itself is one of my all-time favorite things to do. The rodeo is something you got to get on early, though, right? Because it opens Wednesday night. That's free night, so it's rush seating. And then it's ticketed Thursday through Saturday. But advanced tickets right now are already showing it's probably going to be sold out in no time at all. So I'd get on the rodeo tickets. Last year, they sold out Friday and Saturday in advance. Probably will again this year. And tomorrow night, family night at the Chutes. This is a fun one if you just have little kids and you want to give them a bit of an experience. I love that they're doing this. They're going to have trick riders doing their thing in the ring, mutton busting. You know how the kids hop on and try to hold on. That's always fun to watch. There will be some rodeo clowns, mini chuck wagon races. So this is for the family. It is, I think, $25 for adults, and I think 18 and under, it's less than that. But it's going to be on early, I believe, 6-ish. It starts, and then it ends around 8 o'clock. So your little rodeo fans can still get home and have a piece of the rodeo action. So check that out. I'll see you there at Agribition all week long. We're going to be on location. I know even Evan Bray is taking a show on location on Thursday as well. But snow inevitable, but not necessarily that much coming for us tonight. Very light snow. I know a lot of retailers are ready. I'm enjoying this. I don't miss shoveling. But at the same time, I understand how a lot of retailers are saying, we got to get some snow because, hey, a month from today, it's Christmas Eve. We got to get some shopping going here. And it always seems once the snow is on the ground, everyone wants to do that. And besides, there are a lot of snowmobiles, skis, and outdoor fun equipment that is just standing by waiting to be purchased. So hope you all shop local here. I know you see a lot of Black Friday deals on right now, but there's nothing like shopping local. And I saw the Christmas tree lot piling in the trees at Vic Square parking lot on the weekend. The trees are there. No snow. It'll look better when the snow flies too, but it's all turning a lot like Christmas now.